Gemara tells us, Gemara has to spend some time, quite a bit of time, defying Shane, defying Regal, where it comes from the Psukim, a long and very rich discussion about the Mekoros for Shane and Regal, and we saw Machlokas and Rishonim whether ultimately the Mekoros are as they appear in the Medrash, Veshilaf Zeha Regal, Bia Zeha Shane, or the way we moved away from that, the discussion as we had last time, whether Shane and Regal in the final analysis are actually a single op from a single pasuk, which is the impression you get from the Rambam and Rif, which we'll never come back to perhaps a little bit, and the impression you get from our Tosos and some of the Balia Tosos, and that accords, as we said, with Tosos in the second paragraph that assumes that there's a din of Tsuroros both by Shane and Regal, even though it's typically presented as Halachal Moshe Sinai by Regal. But if Shane and Regal are a single Av, when all the dust settles, so then that Shane and Regal are the same thing. While Rashi and a number of Balei Tosfos assumed that Shane and Regal remain two separate categories, and we saw the Rashba and the Rashita Mekubetzes, different flavors of how you deal with the Gemara, how you work through the Shach Vataria, but to assume that the Mechilta, that Medrash Halacha, the Baal Beis Mebeza, that stands Lamaskana. You have two separate, you know. Then the Gemara takes you through what are the Toldos of Shein, what are the Toldos of Regal. Toldos of Shein Mayi. It's a case, these cases we saw, where the animal knocks over a wall and trying to scratch itself, where the animal dirt soils fruit in trying to release itself, so it causes collateral damage in the course of masa hamahana, but that's a toldo shein. They're not actually eating something. And the Gemara says presumably that is kayotzigo, because ma'ishna shein geishanol azeko mimoncho shmaras alecha. It's a general nezek mimoncho shmaras alecha, and specifically shein flavored because geishanol azeko. Well, these as well geishanol azeko mimoncho shmirasan alecha. And then the Gemara says, Regal also. We have various toldos of Regal. Whether the toldos of Regal, so we quote from later, Ezekiel Begufa Derech Hilucha, Besaira Derech Hilucha, this we saw part of already. The animal's walking, the Av of Regal, the animal's walking along, trying to get from point A to point B, in the course of which it tramples on things. That's the Av of Regal. The toldo of Regal is getting from point A to point B, some other part of its body other than its regal causes damage, either actually part of its body, its shoulder, so on and so forth, its hair, or things that it's carrying. Shlifsha, aleha, pumya, shalupia, zuksha, bitzavara, as a package on its back, as the bit, that whole contraption in its mouth, a bell around its neck.
What's in the mouth?
And something, sorry?
What's in the mouth?
The bit. It's the pumya. That's what you have to, that's what you use to attach to its head and its mouth. And then presumably, either it's used to keep the animal from eating, or it's used to attach reins to the animal. You want to attach the reins firmly, so you have something sort of harnessed around its head. So that's
like a muzzle type of thing?
Yeah, so I think it's usually said on the side, they tell you to look in Rashi, Yud Zayin Beis. What does Rashi say, Yud Zayin Beis? What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say about Prumbia Shavapi? Does it say anything? Is that in the base? In the base, he describes the ukaf and the schlif.
Oh, we did.
The schlif is the package. So all these cases, once again, the Gemara says, well, it's the same as Regal. It's a Nezek, Mimimon Krishmas Alecha, and it has a specific Regal flavor. What makes it a specifically Regalish flavor? That, what does the Gemara say? What gives it a specifically Regalish flavor? Hezeka Matzah. Hezeka Matzah. And Rashi says, Maishna regal de mechayiv de hezeka matzah. Regal is chayiv because after all, it's a nezek with hezeka matzah. These two are nezek and hezeka matzah, therefore you should be chayiv. Keep your eye on that Rashi. We will return bli neder to that Rashi and others. as we progress further onto Amud Beis, it's a key Rashi that the Brisker of Tasha, that Rishon already pointed out. It's a significant Rashi. Just to get your minds thinking, it's such a teeny tiny Rashi, you could so easily miss it. He added one word, but it's a really significant word. I don't want to get overly focused right now, but just to get your minds working, come back to, well, what's the significance of Mishna Regel? The Gemara said, what's unique about Regel? After all, it's Mamon Mishra Salacha, General Nezek, and specifically Zeh Gemara. These as well, the Shlif Shalem, Purim Shavapia, etc., all the Talmud of Regel also are Mamon Mishra Salacha, as well as Hezekiah Matzah. And therefore, what the Gemara is obviously trying to demonstrate is yes, we have toldos, are they kayotze behem, not kayotze behem? The answer is yes, they are kayotze behem. Right? As we're trying to demonstrate, it's the same as the ab. What did Rashi add? Mishna Regel. Take a look. The tiny Rashi. First blush doesn't look like really added much. Yeah, I know. Regal, Gematzah, etc. He added one word to the Gemara. The Mechayev. Maisha Regal. The Gemara said, Maisha Regal has Zekamotzah, so to the Tolls has Zekamotzah. So Rashi adds one word. Maisha Regal, which is Chayev, because after all, Zekamotzah, etc. So to the Tolls. So it should be noted, we'll come back to this, what's Rashi telling us? Rashi telling us is that what does it mean to say kayotzben?
Whether you're chayev,
which is something he already said before, and he says here again, and he's going to say again on this, which is interesting because what would Tosei love kayotzben mean?
You're not.
Are you potter?
Wait, just right. That's
interesting. Right, curious. Right. Rashi said it before. It's curious. What Tosei love kayotzben mean that you're potter? It wouldn't be a toldo. Yeah, meaning if I breathe, so that I'm not chayv. Well, yeah, but it's not a told. I mean, if it's a told, obviously it's going to be chayv. Otherwise, what makes it a told? It's a told of Barbara's potter. We call that a told. So it's a curious Rashi. Rashi already said it earlier. Rashi said it here. Rashi said it, as you said, Hachamai, the first Rashi in the narrow lines of the Beis Medrash. Rashi said it here, this tiny Rashi Mishna Regel, is going to say it again. We will, Amir Tzachem, Bli Neder, later in the week, to have a chance to take a peek at a Rosh and a Riff, who talk about this some more. But I don't want to get involved in this now. For now, it's just Leha'ara, to get you thinking. I want to now focus on the next piece of Gemara. The one says, okay, told the Shein Kishen, told the Regel Karegel. Where Papa was not talking about Karen, he wasn't talking about Shane, he wasn't talking about Reva. So where is the mystery Av that Rav Papa was talking about, for which Toldo say and Lav Kiyotzim, because he said Yesh V'Yesh, so far everything seems to be very much Kiyotzim. And you'll notice also, the formula that we're using sounds like it's going to generate the same Kiyotzim all over the place. The definition of a Toldo is it has the same qualities as the Av. Well, in that case, it's Chayav like the Av, Kiyotzim like the Av. Well, that sounds like it's going to play itself out. Right? We're waiting for, but every time the Gemara is going to, okay, let's take a look at this Av. Why is this an Av? Where's the Pasuk? What are the Toldos? Not surprisingly, we keep discovering that the Toldos, what makes a Toldo Toldo is what makes a Toldo Kiyotzim. So what's our third option after Karen, Jane Regel, is born? And once again, the Gemara begins by trying to define what is the Av before looking at what is the Toldo. But in order for it to be a case where Papa could talk about it, obviously you need to have both an Av and a Toldo, and then we can test, is a Toldo Kayotzman or not. So let's take a look at that first step. Chikamra Papa, a Toldo de Bar, near the bottom of the Gilamar Aleph. Maybe your Papa talk about Bar. Maybe the Toldo of Bar is not Kayotze Bo of the Av. The Toldo of Bar is not the same as the Av of Bar. God says, well, what do you mean? Toldo of Bar, my new. What do you mean, Toldo of Bar? Now, the Av of Bar is clearer than ever before. For Karen, Shane, and Regel, the Psukim were all murky and mysterious. So we had to begin by saying, well, You know, the Torah never says we use the word Karen. Oh, Negicha is Karen, let's prove that. And, or Torah never uses the word Shein Regal, Ubir, Vashilach, we have to prove that. Bar, we can finally skip that first step because the Chumash is quite clear. Kiyecha Yishbar, Kiyiftach Yishbar, the Pasuk is very clear when talking about Bar. Talking about a person digging or uncovering a bar. And then the animal falls in, you have to pay. So then the case is far more clear, far more explicit than the Karen Shein Regal. So the Gemara jumps right into, well, what is the Tolda? What's the Tolda? And which is going to become a discussion of, well, what's the Av and what's the Tolda? Chikamar of Papa Tolda de Bar. Tolda de Bar, mind you, what would be a Tolda of Bar? Ilema Av Yud, the Tolda Tez. You can tell me, well, I'm only chayiv if the animal dies in a bar of, which is 10 tefachim deep, or more than 10 tefachim deep. If the bar is less than 10 tefachim deep, the animal falls in and somehow dies, then I'm patur for it, because typically a bar that's less than 10 tefachim deep, and 10 tefachim is approximately 3 feet, approximately a yard, say around so high. The bar is less than that height, the 10 tefachim, or less than that depth, I should say, 10 tefachim, typically wouldn't kill an animal. The animal did die, that's beyond the pale of my responsibility. If the animal falls and gets hurt, that's something for which I'm legitimately responsible. But I'm only chayv for the death of the animal that fell in if the bar is 10 or more. That's Mishnayis later in the Nuns, later in Bava Kamma. So the Gemara says, is that what we're talking about? Lo tes ksiv lo yuksivi. The Torah didn't talk about tes, the Torah didn't talk about yud. The Torah didn't say anything. The Torah just said a bar. Oh, yeah, a bar of tasar. How do you know that the Torah said bar? So if you're chayiv, whatever you're chayiv on a bar of tasar, on a bar, whatever you're chayiv, that's what the Chumash spoke about. You want to have some other case that doesn't involve a hole in the ground, that would be a tolda. And ultimately, that is what the Gemara is going to say. The Gemara is going to say, if I leave a banana peel on the ground, that's a tolda of bar. I leave a banana peel on the ground, and someone slips and falls and hurts themselves, now we're in the world of tolda de bar. If I left there's some sort of obstacle, there's a stationary problem, there's a stationary hazard, but it's not actually a hole in the ground. That's the Gemara's ultimate conclusion. The Gemara's going to say that itself also requires some fine-tuning, which will be fascinating in its own right, but that's the Gemara's going to get to the very bottom. But for now, the Gemara is trying to figure out, maybe there's a Tolda Bar that actually involves a pit. Maybe some pits are only Toldas. Ilema Aviyud V'Tolda Tes. Are you going to tell me the Av is only when it's Asar Tvachim? If it's less than Asar Tvachim, for instance, Tisha Tvachim, or less, then that's a Tolda. Well, why? Well, you take all the tests, you see, but Chumash didn't talk about 9 Tvachim. It's true, also didn't talk about 10 Tvachim. It just said a bar. So why should one be less of an Av than the other? After all, going back to where we started, Av means that's Ksiv. The Gemara says, no. Hello, Kasha. The Torah doesn't specify describing the bar, how deep it is. The Torah does talk about the animal dying in it. The dead animal, the Torah says that you have to know who gets to keep the carcass of the animal. So there's something, the case as described involves not just injury to the animal, but the death of the animal. The Kimlu Rabbanan, Yud Avdin Misa, and Tes Nezikin Avdin Misa. Lo Avdin. 10 Tvachim can often enough kill the animal that falls in, but for 9 it's very, very rare. It might cause damage, but it would be unusual for it to kill the animal that fell in, and therefore.
So it is mentioned.
The example the Chumash is giving is a lethal bar. The example of the case the Chumash is giving is the animal fell in and died. So the animal fell and died, that's a bar de tvachim. So that's why this is only a tolda. That's why this is only a tolda. So Rashi says, the Gemara says, I don't understand. So it sounds good. It sounds like we have a tolda. a bar that only can only cause nezek is not the case that Chumash is describing. I can logically expand it to include that case. That's a legitimate holder, but not the up. The Torah is talking about a bar that's an amos. Sounds like a great point. The Gemara very quickly dispenses with this. It moves on to the next mahal. But no. Sof sof zavon mitz zavon azikin. In the end, they're both amos. Yud is an av to kill, but tes is also an abar of tes is also an av if it's causing nezek. And the Gemara says, obviously. The Gemara doesn't really need to explain that. There's, Ella, there must be some other tolda where you put something down on the ground. The banana field. Avnus HaKinu Malsa, which we'll get to Blinander next time. The question is, what just happened? The Gemara made it what seemed like a very reasonable point. The case of Chumash is describing is a bar which kills. A bar which kills is only a Saratachim. If a bar which is not deep enough to kill is not what the Chumash is describing. It's a logical extension. Yeah, that's what we call a tolda. Not enough. So how did Gemara reject that? When it said, Ze'av l'misav, Ze'av l'nezikin. So that's what Rashi is troubled by and offers two solutions to. And Dibay Masel, Ze'av l'nezikin. Dib Nofal, Shar b'bar tisha, says Rashi, Umez, Pater Balabah. A bar of tisha, if the animal falls in and dies, that you're pater on, because that's not something that I could be responsible for. It's beyond the power of a typical bar of tisha. The im huzak chayv, if the animal falls into a 9 tefach bar and gets injured, I am chayv. Okay, that we know, but not just chayv. The point of the Gemara is not just that you're chayv, but that's an av. The av, and that's what Rashi addresses. The avhuda midiyuku dekranafka, and that's also an av. Why? I saw what the Chumash is saying. He says, no! The gross point is that is what the Chumash is saying. How did the Chumash tell us a bar test? Here we go. It's a diyuk from the pasuk. Midichsiv avayziyalav, because the Chumash says, falls in the bar, and now you're chayiv for the ambush died. Mashma, bar asara de bar mikdalhu, chayiv misashar. A bar that's deep enough, a 10 tefach bar which is deep enough to kill, then you are chayiv on the death of the shah. Drasha, then now what's your diyuk? Ha batzir me'achi. Batzir means pachos. Batzir is Aramaic for less than. Ha batzir me'achi, less than that, less than 10 tefachim, b'misa lo chayiv. You would not be chayiv if a 9 tefach bar killed an animal. That's diyuk number one. And then here goes diyuk number two. Habenizakin mischayev. You're only chayev if it's a 10 tefach bar, then you're chayev misa. Is mashma if it's a 9 tefach bar, you're not chayev misa. Is mashma if it's a 9 tefach bar, you're not chayev misa, but you're chayev on nezikin. A double diuk, and there's your av nezikin. That is the first approach in Rashi. Zavla nezikin, because you can be medayik, the chiyuv of nezakim on a barge tisha tvachim, you can be medayik from the pasuk as we just laid out, the double deal. And then Rashi says, here's another, that's approach number one, lishna achrina, what's the second lashon? So, the second lashon means Rashi's second perish in the Gemara. Sof ze avlamisa, the ze avlanezakim. That's what the Gemara said. What does it mean? You could have bolded those words, because he's repeating the Diram Asol. And that's how it operates. So he says, you know what that means? Dichihech, in the Nafiklavikra, Bor Asara Lemisa, Nafkalan, Bartisha Lenizakin. Actually, there's another way in which we might be finding the Bartisha, the Hezek, not Misa, the Hezek caused by Bartisha in the Chumash. It's really parallel. How? The same way you see the death caused by the bar asara, you also see the injury caused by the bar tisha. How? The chsev, he says, let's look at the chumash. V'nafal shama shor ochamar. An animal falls in. At that point, it sounds mashma bein beis bein huzak. Bal habor yishalim. The Torah says, right, you open the bar, you reopen the bar, you dug the bar afresh. V'nafal shama shor ochamar. And then an animal unwittingly walks in, falls into this bar. Baal HaBar Yishalem. The owner of the bar, whoever created that bar, you have to pay for what you did. And Rashi says, look, at this point, V'nafal Shem HaShar HaMar is very open-ended. It fell in and something happened. It could be an ace, it could be Huzak. So initially, when the Torah is described, V'nafal Shem, Baal Bar Yishalim, that's open it. Later on we said Ameis Yelo. So that's a footnote. If there's a mace, so then you have to figure out what to do with the carcass. But that's not the core case. Miyu in mace. Ashur, Marabon the Bar Tisha Potter. Lo Machmas Bar Mace. Dein Bil Kedei Lahamis. Fundamentally, the Torah is talking about any depth of bar, and any situation, whether it's Nezek or it's Misup, we'll talk about everything. And then he says, ah, so how come if the bar, a bar of less than 10 tefachim caused death to the animal, your potter, that's not being medayik that from the pasuk. The first Lashon Rashi understood that's what the pasuk is telling me. They would say, no, it's just Misvara. Because that's abnormal for the bar to cause, so it's hard to say that I'm responsible. But if it causes damage, it is chayev. Now, let's take a deep breath and think about what we just read. It's a little confusing because there are a lot of back and forth in Rashi. So let's try to concretize your own mind what just happened. Again, to recap the Gemara very briefly, the Gemara is looking for the Tolda of Bar so that we can then test the Tolda against Yav and see Tolda against and Lav Kesser. So right now the Gemara's first task is identify a Tolda of Bar. And the Gemara's first attempt is, well, maybe a Bar of Tisha. It is true that a Bar of Tisha, you're Chayiv if it causes Nezek. You're not Chayiv if it causes Misa, unlike a Bar of Yud. You're Chayiv either one. Maybe a Baluk. A bar of test is a Tolda. And by the way, we could have said, if we would have said that, you know what we would then would have said? Lav Kiltzman! Right? Bar of test for you is not the same. Here you're only Chayav HaNezek, there you're Chayav HaMisa. Right? So that would have been pretty exciting. And that's part of why it's so significant, what Ariel pointed out. That's why part of why it's so significant that we're rejecting this as a Tolda. Because we're actually changing the way we're going to answer this question. And that's why this line has a lot of significance, which makes it even harder because it's so mysterious. And the guy says, no, that's an av too. Bar test is an av. Now, the question is, well, why is bar test an av? After all, as the Gemara said, the Torah is describing a lethal bar. Hamesi yelo. The case we're giving is a lethal bar. Lethal bar is only a bar of yud. Rashi gave two answers to that question. In other words, Rashi gave two explanations to how the Gemara can come to the conclusion that a bar test is also an av. I, the Chumash, is describing a lethal bar. So Rashi's second answer, let's go do this backwards. Rashi's second answer was really pretty straightforward. Rashi's second answer was, basically, ignore the Vamesi Yalo, that's just a footnote, doesn't mean in every case the animal died, in case there was a death, then we'll figure out what to do with the carcass. But basically, the beginning of the pasuk is talking about something happened. Nafal shama shara hamar, bar bar yisham. There was something, there was some loss. That's Rashi's second approach. Sort of ignore, I don't know, ignore, but de-emphasize that last phrase. That's not coloring the whole pasuk, that's just in case. Okay. In which case, okay. The beginning of the pasuk is talking about whatever. Nizikin, Misa, Yud, Tess, a bar, something happened. That's Rashi's second approach. Second approach to explaining, how do we conclude that a bar test is an av? Well, Rashi's first approach was to say, no, it's a good point. Hamesi Elo, what the Chumash is describing overtly is a lethal bar, but if you're medayik, both thumbs, right, because you have a double diik, but Mesi alone means you're only chayiv on Misa with the bar asara. Is the chmashma a non-lethal bar that somehow by fluke caused Misa? If a bar test causes Misa, you're potter. If a bar test causes Misa, you're potter. But if a bar test causes Nizik, you're chayiv. Double thus. Right? That was the first approach in Rashi. That bar test is meduyuk from the pasuk.
Can you explain that again?
Sure. The first approach in Rashi says that accept the basic premise of the Havim, you know? That the Chumash overtly is only describing a bar hamemis. The Chumash is only describing a lethal accident, habesi yelo. But I can be medayik the din of Bartex. Why? Because mace yellow means I'm chayiv on death of an animal in the bar asar. Right? That's what the Chumash says. So deep number one is, oh, a bar asar you're chayiv on misa, but a bar tisha you're not chayiv on misa. Deep number two, a bar tisha you're not chayiv on misa, but you are chayiv on azakin. That's sort of like a, when you think about 2x2 matrix, from here to here, from here to there.
Therefore,
you say, chayiv misa is only yud not tes. Then they say by test it's not for chiyah misa which is left out, but chiyah nizakin you would have.
Therefore, it is mentioned in the pasuk.
Oh, exactly. So Rashi's first shot again is that bar test is in the pasuk based on a double diak. Rashi's second approach is bar test is in the pasuk because you read the pasuk to include both. What's the difference between the two approaches?
This may be off topic, but according to Tosos, isn't it only an office pshuta the mikra?
So not off topic. That's so on topic. Mamash, just answer the question. And you look at beautiful, beautiful. And you look at Rashi, you say, well, what's the difference between two perushim? So on the one hand, the second perush is reading the Chumash a little loosely. The Beis Yelo is a detail, says that that's not the whole case. Okay, the strength of the second parish is that once you read the pasuk that way, and once you say that the last clause, Beis Yelo, it doesn't define the whole case, you say that that's sort of a footnote, but the basic case is just the animal falls in and something happens. The strength of that second shot is that it's mamish p'shuto mikra. The chumish, kipshuto, is describing any type of bar that causes damage. Except for a case where it was a fluke. Okay, but any normal case of a bar causing whatever type of damage, whether nezek or misa, you're chai. Bar tisha, bar asara, all include in pshuto shel mikra, as you said. Whereas the first pshat in Rashi is saying, name, it's takana pshuto shel mikra. We'll work with the hanacha of the havamina, that the pshuto shel mikra is only bar asara. But bar tisha still makes it in based on a double deal. As Rashi says up front, diyukah dekrah. Now the problem with that, number one, that diyuk is interesting diyuk. The logic of the double diyuk, I got to think about that. But beyond that, we're not talking about whether you're chayiv or not. The Gemara's goal here is not to, we know that you're chayiv on nizik and bar test. That's later in the Masechta. That's in the nuns, in the bar sugyas. Here, our bar is not just, are you chayiv or not, the bar is higher. Is that chiyuv an av? So the first approach in Rashi is assuming that based on a diuk will still qualify as an av. And that, as Arya pointed out, flies in the face of the Tosfos by Michal Yekarna, who said, yes, maybe Tinuf Peiros could be derived from the Pasuk, but it's not Pshuto Shal Mikra, and only Pshuto Shal Mikra qualifies as an Av Nezakim. So it sounds like perhaps it's Machlokas, the two Lashonos in Rashi. Certainly seems like a Machlokas, the first Lashon in Rashi, if not a Machlokas, you can't prove the second Lashon in Rashi disagrees with this, so it certainly sounds like it. Definitely Machlokas, the first Lashon in Rashi, and versus Tosfos. Whether and when we say that an av is a davar kasa of Torah, does it have to be dafka davar kasa of Torah beferish or not? Does it have to be pshuto shel mikra, or could it even be something that's darshined from the pasuk? Now you might say to me, "What do you mean darshined from the pasuk? All toldos are darshined from the pasuk. They are din daraisa." So by definition, what do you mean? Darshan from the Pasuk. Of course, it's Darshan from the Pasuk. That's a Din D'Oraisa, but that's a Tolda. I mean, every single... How do we know that Hezika Begufa Derech Hilucha? The Gemara just had a Drasha. The Gemara said, a Mamatzino. Right? Here, if the case of eating, you're chai because it's your mom which is being mazik, you should have stopped it. And Yishanol Hezika, so this is also the same basic principle. That's a Drasha. Every Tolda is Nidrash, and yet it's Torah Sheval Peh, and it is Chayiv, Din D'Oraisa, but that's what we call a Tolda. So how does Rashi, it's a remarkably strange Rashi at first blush. Wait, it's a diuk, it's not Pshurosh HaMikra, and still it's an Av? So to address that, we need a tool that the Prima Gadim gives us. The Prima Gadim was a German Talmud Chacham, with a brilliant Talmud Chacham in a very, very broad way. He wrote one of the masterpieces on Shulchan Aruch. He wrote, over the course of Shulchan Aruch, we've seen, let's say we're learning Hilchas Yichud, and Ibn Ezra, so you have the Chalkas and Mechok in the Beis Shmuel on the side. And you open up Yerei Day, you have the Taz and the Shach on the side. You open up Aruch Chaim, the Taz and the Mogav Rav. So Prima Gadim wrote super commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, a Perish on the Perishim. So he wrote on the Taz, he wrote on the Mogav Rav, he wrote on the Shach, and so on and so forth. Not on all of Shulchan Aruch, but on, I believe, most of Shulchan Aruch, running commentary on the two major Perushim. That's already, and his Harifus, his Bekius, it's flooring. It takes a breath away. And then, not only does he have extraordinary power in the line by line, he also writes these broad hakdamas. His hakdama to Hilchus Bas Rechala. He raises sort of the meta issues of Bas Rechala. His hakdama to Hilchus Pesach. And then he zooms out even more, and he has what he calls, in addition to the psicha to Hilchus Bas Rechala, the psicha to Hilchus Pesach, and so on and so forth, he has the psicha hakolelis, the general introduction to everything. Introduction to halacha, and which has five parts. Each of these parts is incredibly broad, and the amount of specific bekiyas and charifas that he brings to bear across the board is staggering. So let's say, I think it's the second, there are five parts of psychic laws. I think the third, second or third part is, let's survey different individuals and how they're unique in halacha. They go through differences, halacha differences between men and women, halacha differences between ketan and gedolim, halacha differences between cheresh and anonchesh, and so on and so forth. It's a tour de force. The first segment of Psif HaKalos is, let's talk about different levels of halachos. So, well, you have the Reis HaRabbanon, but he breaks it down to like six levels. So let's talk about Chiyuvei Kares versus regular Lav versus Aseh versus something Nidrash from the Pasuk. And there, then let's talk about that versus Rabbanon and awe-inspiring in terms of what he showing nafkaminas with like a lot of he's not just theorizing. Everything is backed up by very, very significant very, very significant list in the Karas. So he addresses the question number one, what are the differences between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh? Both Doraisa, which is something that was already litigated in an earlier era. But even though they're both deraisa, what are the nafkaminas? And he gives you, I believe, six nafkaminas between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. He discusses there are those who hold that maybe we shouldn't say. He points out you don't get an onesh on Torah Shebapeh, and he has a debate about whether or not there's, you say, suffix. Doraisa l'chumra on Tar. Do you always say Doraisa l'chumra on Tar Shalper or not? And he goes on and on and on. Many, many nafkiminas. He points out significantly that when Chazal the right to tell us to violate a din Doraisa b'shev v'al passively b'shev v'al tasa, for instance, Chazal can tell us you can't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shchalias b'Shabbos. Mitzvah Daraisa Shofar, they tell you passively violate the Mitzvah Saseh, passively don't fulfill that Mitzvah Saseh, because they're concerned that Shabbos will come to carry. As Akira's Dovrim at Torah B'Shev, Baal Tassah. He points out that the Bach writes, Rosh Hashanah pointed out, Shir more than once is a Tosis on Rosh already in Kiddushin, the Rugam didn't have a Tosis Rosh in Kiddushin, that's only, why didn't they make a Gzer not to blow Shofar even on Rosh Hashanah on a different day of the week? After all, Midrash Rabbanan not allowed to use musical instruments. That's also a Xer Drabbanan on Shabbos. Why only the carrying issue? Why not say you can never blow shofar in Shabbos? So the Bach develops this idea in several places that Chazal can tell you to be oker davar haTorah, but not neged davar hamafurish b'kra. To say, my Chumash says you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Chazal can't say you don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. They can say you don't always blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The Chumash remains true, but the Chumash as state, we're not directly going against the Chumash as state. So the Prima Gadol lines that up again. He puts that whole discussion into the framework of the six nafkei minas between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Akir's Dov Minat Torah, Safek, da 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 da. He has his whole list. I don't think I have the Kibbutz class with me today. Maybe tomorrow I can show you. At least the next time we are together for Shir, I can show you. The Kibbutz class was traditionally printed in the tiniest Rashi font size possible in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. So it was very, very overwhelming to learn. Now, in the last couple of decades, they reprinted a separate sefer with big, with larger font size, with footnotes, and made it much more attractive and appealing.
Oh,
it's fine, so. Yeah, I'm sure they have it. I'm sure they take a look and see.
It's open there.
Sicha HaKalalas. Now, let's come back here. Because the Prima Gadin makes an additional point. A point which is rooted in part in a very famous contentious Rambam and will directly address what's going on here. There's a very, very famous Rambam, which you had a chance to see. The opening Rambam in Hilchas Ishos. The opening Rambam is say for Nashim. What does Rambam say? Rambam contextualizes the first Mishnah Maseches Kiddushin. First Mishnah Maseches Kiddushin tells us there are three Kinyane Kiddushin. Rambam says, under Mitzvah Bnei Noach, there's no such thing as Kiddushin, only Nisuin. Marriage is natural. If you're living together with man and wife, then you're married. If you separate, then you end the state of living together with man and wife, you're not married. That's halachic marriage for Bnei Noach. Only Nisuin. Only the essence of are you married, are you not married. Part of the gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael is to give structure and discipline to marriage and to thereby give us the opportunity to infuse it with Kiddushin. And that's obviously a larger discussion, but one piece of that is the fact that the halacha demands that Jews proceed Nisuin with Kiddushin, with a formalized kinyan that demonstrates we are engaging in, that we're creating a new halachically binding relationship here. You need one of three kinyanim to be mikudeshes, and then subsequently, you actually live together with husband and wife, you have Nisuin. Okay, so that's the gift of kinyan and Kiddushin. And it's no longer so casual and come see, come sa, the way he describes the marriage of Bnei Noach. This is deliberate and thoughtful. You're entering into a relationship with one another with focus. And then the Rambam said, and that likuch in elu, mitzvah sasei minat Torah. That's a mitzvah daraisa. The Rambam understands that getting married in of itself, even if you're not going to raise a family. A pair of 65-year-olds get married. Puru Ravu is obviously off the table, but getting married, Rambam understands, unlike some other Rishonim, is in and of itself a mitzvah daraisa. He's very clear and explicit about it. The kuchin elu, mitzvah seishal Torah. Kiddushin is a daraisa. And then he says, and what are the kinyan of Kiddushin? So he says, oh, Mishnah, kesev, shtar, and bia. What's strange, and the Rambam says, shtar and bia, that's min ha-Torah, kesef is mi divrei sofer. From the words of the rabbis. If you look at that, you say, what just happened? Kiddusha Kesef is Drabana? That's what it sounds like he just said. Now, number one, it's externally problematic. As you saw, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, we learn it from a Gzeira Shava, Kicha Kicha Mistaya from. That sounds like it's pretty daraisa to me. And Shtar is also learned from a drasha, from a hekesh, between get and kiddushin. And he said, that's min ha-Torah. And this is mi drabbanan? Gzeir Shabbos drabbanan? So it's externally problematic on that level, but the Gemara says we have a drasha. It's externally problematic because you mean to say that if you married all of us nowadays, we've got, Rambam tells us a couple of hours later, a universal minig, a couple lines later, universal minig is to get married with Kiddushin, so with Kesef. So we're all only married midrabanan. That's pretty surprising. Number three, Israel himself just said, Likuchin Elum is a Seishal Torah, and goes on to talk about how you fulfill it. Within the realm itself, he sounds like he's mixing and matching. Is it Minat Torah or is it Midivrei Sofim? And externally, in multiple sources. So the Magen Mishnah has a discussion, and the Kesef Mishnah is a very long discussion. The truth is, the Rambam's son, Avraham ben Arambam, wrote a long letter about this. And we also have a letter the Rambam himself wrote about this. And Rav Shalat, in his edition, Rav Shalat from Malei Adumim, in his edition of Igros HaRambam, has a very long and rich footnote about this. There are two, or maybe three, approaches to Rambam. One approach, which is very, very difficult, is to say, Rambam holds that Kesef is Rabbanan. Well, there is a Rashi quotes this from his Rebbein, maybe Kesef is Rabbanan. There are those who want to say the Rambam holds that way as well. Very, very difficult. The Ramban in the Sefer HaSagas, the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, attacks the Rambam for what he saw, understood, as the Rambam was saying that the drashas are drabon. At some point to this Rambam, oh, you see, it's Gzeirah Shabbos on drabon. On drabon. But it's incredibly untenable. The Rambam does highlight the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. But he also highlights it between Torah Shebapeh Daraisa versus Din Drabon. Very clearly. Very clearly. So the more attractive approach is to say that the Rambam uses the term Divrei Sofrim. This is demonstrable elsewhere. Divrei Sofrim means from the rabbi. It doesn't necessarily mean Drabbanan. It means Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's clear in many other places in Mishnah Torah as well. That Divrei Sofrim means Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Rambam is saying, well, then everything is consistent. Yes, married b'kesef shtar or bia, any which way, you're married min ha-Torah. You're married mid-da-oraisa, not mid-da-rabbana. But what the Rambam is, and that's why they all fall under the rubric of the Kuchin Elu, that Kiddushin is a mitzvah seishal Torah. However, shtar and bia are Torah shebichsav, while Kesef is Torah Shebaal Peh. Doraisa, but Torah Shebaal Peh based on a drasha. Okay. Again, there's much to be said about this. As I said, a somewhat long Magid Mishnah, a very lengthy Kesef Mishnah. You're invited to take a look. Hanogel in Yoninu, though, is the following final point. So, Kesef is Divrei Sofrim, Torah Shebaal Peh, because it's Nilmad May. Zeira Shava, Kesef, Kicha, Kicha, Mista Ephraim. Yet Shtar, the Rambam writes, is Min HaTorah, even though it's learned from a Hekesh. Now the Rambam has a line in which he says, well, we're only going to treat it as Devar Torah if the Gemara first was such. And what's driving it as such? So the Prima Gadim puts forward the following idea, which is perhaps pregnant in our Sugya Bava Kama Dav Gimel Min Alf as well. Which is, not all drushas are created equal. Prima Gadim spends a lot of time on this. He says, maybe Gzeirah Shavah and Hekesh are at a higher level, they're more Torah Shebichsav-ish than other drushas. Now the Rambam might even say that Hekesh is more Torah Shebichsav-ish than Gzeirah Shavah, which is very understandable. That would explain why Shtar is Devar Torah while Kesef is Midivrei Sofrim, because Shtar is from a Hekesh while Kesef is Gzeirah Shavah. If you think about it, Hekesh means it is the implication of the Pasuk itself. Two ideas appear in the same Pasuk, it sounds like they have a connection. Gzeirah Shavah is more technical. This word here, that word there, it's a code to tell me it did. That's further removed from Pshuto Shel Mikra. The truth is you don't have time for it now. The Gemara in Brachas, Dav Chafa, the Gemara in Brachas in the discussion of Birkas HaTorah also indicates there can be different levels of Torah Shebichsavness. There can be Torah Shebal Peh that's more connected to the Chumash, Torah Shebal Peh that's less connected to the Chumash. And now let's wrap it all together. The Prima Gana makes that suggestion that it might not be binary, black and white, either Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebal Peh. It could be that there are some types of drushes that are more connected to the Chumash, and some types of drushes are less connected. So there could be a spectrum between total Torah Shebichsav and pure Torah Shebal Peh. Prima Gana is interested in his six nafkaminas, between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Maybe some drushes have some aspects of Torah Shebichsav. So that's relevant for Prima Gana. It's relevant for the Rambam, in the way in which he categorizes different Kinyan and Kiddushin. Some drushes are more Torah Shebichsav than others. It's relevant, as I mentioned, it's expressed in the sugya in Masechus Brachas of Daf Yud Aleph, I believe it is, of Birkas HaTorah. And finally, that may be what's going on here. Of course, if you're just Nilmah with a Mamatzinu, just logical expansion, that type of drasha is definitely not an av. That is a tolda. But what Rashi is suggesting, not that all drushas are av, but that maybe some drushas are, it's a diuk, but it's more linked to the language of the Chumash. This is not a Gezeira Shava. This is not a Mamatzinu. This is actually a diuk from the Chumash. So while it's not utter Pshush HaMikra, it's higher on the scale. It's more Torah Shebichsavish. Again, with this notion that A, that we differentiate for, although both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebichsav are Daraisa, there are Nafkaminas. And here's a big one, Avon Tolda. It's sort of a big distinction. But for the further notion that the Prima Gadim develops, that there are drushas that are, there's a spectrum from Torah Shebichsav to Torah Shebichsav, that appears to be what's driving Rashi as well. That this diuk is pretty close to Torah, it's not Pshush HaMikra, but it's pretty close. While the Tosas would have none of that. Either it is, or it ain't. If it's Pshush HaMikra, the Torah Shebichsav, the Torah Shebichsav is an av, and otherwise, it's a tolda. Rashi sees the shades of gray. So if it's a dark gray, that's close enough to black. If it's a diuk, but it's close to Pshush HaMikra, it's pretty connected to the Chumash, that way it could qualify as an av. Go ahead, Trevor.
Trevor, can I ask you a question?